And we welcome you into the Monday edition of The Lowdown. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, Damian Barling has the day off today. Happy Monday. And it's a happy Monday, Ken, because yesterday was our last Sunday without football.
Woo-hoo!
Till I guess, the Sunday before Super Bowl.
All right. Don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah. We made it, Jason.
We're there. We're there. Football is here.
It's right around the corner.
It is, which is exciting. Raiders camp is underway. Niners camp began. We'll have some reaction to that. We're going to get our Monday staple, best and worst of the weekend. All sports available there, so let us know about that at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, text line 44-1140, but we'd love to get your interaction here on the show. Again, we'll get best and worst coming up. But it's also, as we say, the start of baseball. We're right in the middle in the heat of baseball. 1 hour from now, actually 57 minutes, 55 seconds, the trade deadline will come and go. And a lot of trade deadlines, nothing happens, but it's picking up even more. The latest that just happened, looks like the Yankees have sent Carlos Beltran to the Rangers.
Whoa.
So Yankees overhaul it's happening. I mean, they're dumping all their higher priced talented guys,
right?
They're rebuilding,
and guys that are not young anymore.
Yes,
we're talking
exactly.
about guys that they're paying a ridiculous amount of money to, and the guys could still be productive.
Yeah,
but for what they're paying them and the miles that they have on them, they're like, you know what, we can let somebody else have you if they want a chance to win right now. Now the thing about that is, I always felt like the Rangers were not a strong team.
I agree.
And even though my Angels are 13 and a half games back, I seriously was like, as long as we got 14 games to play, we'll catch them.
Yeah, you weren't afraid of them.
Not afraid of them.
Yeah.
But now that they picked up another bat, that helps them out big time. If they get another pitcher somehow, the Rangers could be a force. But I don't consider them a threat at all to move beyond winning the division, if they even hold off Houston for that.
Sure. And we'll discuss any other moves that happen in the next 56 minutes or so. But the moves that did happen, we mentioned Carlos Beltran goes to the Rangers. Jay Bruce, another big bat, leaves the Reds, goes to the Mets. But the one that affects the local teams in kind of a variety of ways, the A's and Dodgers worked out a deal. You just said in your report there, Ken, the A's send Rich Hill, who's been their best pitcher. He's got a blister problem. And Josh Reddick, who just seems like Mr. A now. I mean, he's had the long term there, to the Dodgers for three right-handed minor league pitchers. And I just feel for A's fans because this is – I mean, they're not in it this year, but this is what they do.
It is what they do, but it's not a complete fire sale.
No.
Past, you've seen numerous transactions. Of course, I don't want to jinx it. We still have 56 minutes
right.
remaining, so you never
yes.
know what they're working on behind the scenes. But we were talking about this just the other day. We're like, wait, A's fans, you have a little glimmer of hope because they haven't done the annual yearly fire sale, and then they moved two really important pieces today. But you had to think they were going to be moved because they're both free agents.
Yeah.
And just like Sonny Gray is going to be a free agent, you think, well, what are they doing with him?
Right.
But the way he's pitching, maybe no one wants him right now.
Yeah, and that's where Rich Hill was an asset. People wanted him. He had the blister problem, but he's having a really good year. But I think he's 36, so he's an older pitcher.
Right.
And then Reddick, he said this today on, I think it was on his Twitter page. He said, I just want to say thank you to the Oakland organization for the time I spent there. I played in some very memorable and spectacular games. I wouldn't be where I'm at without Oakland. And then the last line's the best. To my people in the right field bleachers, never change.
Yeah.
Those freaks out there. And that's part of the charm of going to the Coliseum. And those people out in right field just having fun. And Reddick acknowledged that. So that's cool.
So I'm wondering, though, even though they're in two different leagues, in two different divisions, I'm wondering if the San Francisco Giants called and like, hey, bro, why would you send those two guys to the Dodgers? What are you doing?
We're only hanging on to a two-game lead right now.
Come on, man. We're still the same in the Bay Area.
That's right.
Bay Area brothers.
Yes.
Come on. You don't want
to
hook us up.
Yeah. And so on the layers of that for the Dodgers makes me wonder, is Rich Hill an insurance policy for Kershaw or just an addition if Kershaw comes back? Reddick will definitely help him. Does that mean they'll move Puig now? They've got 55 minutes to move a name. I mean, Reddick should play that corner spot in the outfield where Puig plays.
And if you think about it, I mean, many would say that Puig's a better hitter, but out in the field, I mean,
they both have cannons for
arms. One amazing
arm
for another, and probably a guy who could probably cover more ground and maybe a bit more savvy out there in right field, because Puig is not that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're – well, you got options, I guess, if you're the Dodgers. So what the Giants did to counter just recently, too, they have traded for bullpen help. They traded for left-handed bullpen guy from Milwaukee, Will Smith, in exchange for Phil Bickford and Andrew Susak, the local guy.
Yeah, Andrew Susak, I do believe, Jesuit high school, growing up in the Roseville area, and had a lot of support here. And, you know, the good news for him is he came up with a great organization. He got playing time with the organization. He got a World Series ring because he was on the roster and played in that series. So now you can go out there and focus on just trying to become a better player and making your bones.
Yeah, because he's kind of caught. I mean, you're behind Posey, and then Brown has had a nice spot as a backup. I don't know where the spot was for him right now.
Yeah, and Brown took over because Susak was hurt for so long during spring training that they had to find someone else, and Brown did a great job handling pitchers, and his hitting has been okay, but he's done a better job handling the pitchers. But see, here's the good news. I think maybe for someone like Susak, you're going to an organization where their number one catcher, they're trying to move him.
Yes.
So that may mean there's some openings down there beneath there. And he's already proven that he's a solid backup. He just has to stay healthy.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yesterday, LaCroix was basically traded, and he said, nope, I don't want to go to Cleveland.
Right.
Which, wow, that's interesting. I mean, they're in the playoff race. Milwaukee is not, but he didn't want to go to Cleveland.
That's interesting. Who chooses Milwaukee?
I know, over Cleveland.
Over Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Boy, Cleveland, you did finally get a break, I guess, this summer.
They sure did.
But besides that, they haven't been able to catch many other breaks.
And I thought initially that I was the only one thinking about this as a World Series possibility, but then I see it all over the headlines today, Indians and Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that would be exciting.
Yeah, the world would stop for a little bit.
Absolutely. Because everyone's like, wait a minute, is it Cleveland's year? Are they going to win it? Wait a minute, what?
Wait, someone has to win, right?
Right.
Will this end in a tie?
Yeah.
First ever World Series tie.
Game 7, we're in 27 innings.
Yes.
Someone's going to win this World Series.
So, again, we're about 52 minutes away from the trade deadline. Any other news breaks? The Giants still reportedly interested in a few other pitchers like Matt Moore from Tampa. We'll see what happens. And I think the one thing that I've always liked about trade deadlines, sometimes when they're quiet, it just stays that way. But we've had a lot of movement. So I think it's like, wait, the Dodgers did what? Okay, we'll do this. Oh, wait, the Rangers did what? Now it's our turn. So I think this last hour could be pretty fun. Potentially could be pretty fun.
And I kind of feel like the Giants need to be more active. Now, granted, they have reason to kind of stand pat because they have a lot of guys coming back.
Yes.
And you saw the immediate difference that Hunter Pence made when he gets back into the lineup. It's amazing.
Just a surge.
It's the difference one guy can make, but I still think they need some more pieces to kind of shore it up and be like, okay, we have everything covered. So I expect maybe some more activity from them, but I don't know if they have anything to move, any bargaining chips.
Yeah. So we'll talk Giants. We'll talk baseball. Joining us later in the show at 2:00, the great voice of the Oakland A's, Ken Korak, will talk about the career that Reddick had with the A's, Rich Hill moving on, and the guys the A's are getting, and even just kind of where Oakland is now at this point of the season, and if we'll have any other moves in that short amount of time before he visits with us at 2:00.
So he's the voice that I hear all the time, and I probably heard it for a year now, where you guys continue to play for the A's promo with Stephen Vogt hitting a home run against the Angels. And I'm not quite sure why you guys
don't like that.
No, I don't know why you use
that
anymore.
Their rival.
That's not necessary. It's not necessary. Well, it's kind of mean.
We'll see if we can find ways to edit that or change that for sure. Speaking of Angels, I know that's going to come up in one of Ken's stories coming up here in a moment. We're going to do best and worst of the weekend. As we said, Ken Korak will join us. Lots of other things to get to. Our staple, 3 the Hard Way, coming up at 1 o'clock. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So let's do it. Since we had a pretty fun-filled weekend of sports, what is we'll start you off with your best and worst of this last weekend in sports.
My best is Bruce Bochy's managing. His moves yesterday alone.
Yeah.
Just yesterday in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. So here's what happens. We're in the fifth inning. Matt Cain is doing a great job.
Yeah.
However, he's thrown 93 pitches.
Yeah, and a no-hitter at this point.
And a no-hitter into the fifth inning.
Yeah.
But they got to get some runs. So Boch goes over and tells him, like, hey, you're pitching a great game, but your pitch count is high, and I got to get a bat in there. I got to get some runs. So who does he turn to pinch hit for the pitcher? It's the best thing ever. Madison Bumgarner comes in as the pinch hitter.
Yep.
You've got all these bats sitting on the bench, but you go and get your pitcher. He laces a double off the right field wall.
Should have been a triple, but that's okay.
Yeah, you got to hustle out of the box, Mad Bum. Hustle out of the box. He's up there admiring his handiwork.
Yeah.
But it was a great hit. And so then he I can't believe he even does this. So then he sends in a pinch runner for Mad Bum.
Right. Which is normal.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Who do you select?
Yeah.
Samardzija.
Yeah.
Get in here and get on second.
You're not pitching. You get in there.
He puts Jeff Samardzija in as the pinch runner.
Yep.
He scores. What ends up being the go-ahead and winning run. They tack on another later on with Denard Span, make it 3-1. But I was like, that whole sequence right there, you use three pitchers, basically.
Yeah.
To make the difference in the game. And I forgot that I've read the thing, and Samardzija was a wide receiver in college.
Oh, yeah.
At Notre Dame.
Yeah,
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he's an amazing athlete. But that you're right. I've always felt that Bochy pulls the right strings more times than not. But yesterday, that was just a perfect example.
Who does that?
I don't know.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a manager pinch hitting for a pitcher with a pitcher.
Yeah.
Then pinch running for the pitcher with a pitcher.
Another pitcher, yes.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of, and
yeah.
It worked.
And you know what? I thought about that. There was a game early in the week. Giants have been struggling, and it was the last time Bumgarner pitched. So a couple days ago, they needed the win, and he had gone 8 innings. It's the bottom of the 8th, and he's batting Bumgarner. Bumgarner got out, and then he didn't pitch the 9th. And I'm like, wow, usually if the pitcher's batting, he's going to pitch. But he was hoping Bumgarner would run into one and hit a home run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's where this team – it's just the bench was too light with hitters, with everybody hurt, you know, a few days ago. And then yesterday, he's like, no, I'm going back to Bumgarner.
And
it worked.
The thing about baseball is you can say, oh, that's never happened before.
Right.
But something has happened at least once.
Right.
In baseball. Whatever the
seemingly
centuries that
the
we
history.
Played this game. Yeah, but I'm not like that. That was the weirdest thing for me.
Yeah, so here's how it ended yesterday in San Francisco. Yeah, a little scary, too. Got the leadoff hitter. He hit the leadoff hitter in the 9th, but got out of the jam. Giants win that one 3-1, so that's part of your best of the weekend. The Bochy.
Also, their closer came in and wrapped it up for him.
Eventually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Why? Is there a theme there? Is there something wrong?
So that's what a closer's supposed to do?
Yeah, usually, even if you get in trouble, get the outs and get out of the game and get the win.
Oh.
Very, very doable.
Oh, okay. Can somebody send Houston Street an email to tell him that's what he's supposed to do? This is my worst of the weekend.
Is there point shaving going on or something?
Oh, man. You're right. So it's 3-0.
Yeah.
Tyler Skaggs, a great outing again. The kid that came back, hadn't pitched in 2 years, has a fantastic outing. You hold Boston scoreless. You go to the 9th inning. You bring your closer in. It's 3-0. All right, sure, walk the first guy. Okay, guy gets a single, and then they get a run. 3-1. We don't care about that. Next two guys, he gets them out. 2 outs.
Good. 1 out away.
2 strikes.
Okay. And that's the Pedroia bomb?
Yeah. He walks a guy, and then ba-boom. Guy hits a 3-run homer. Like, dude, are you serious? And then you turn around and give up another home run.
Yeah.
So I got a funny feeling there's one name you will not see traded today because no one's going to reach in and pick up Houston Street.
Yeah.
Even if the Angels dangle them out there. It's nothing worse than having a closer that you've got some money wrapped up in and they're kind of useless.
And that's a bad feeling. That's a bad loss. I mean, I know they're far back, but that's a bad loss.
It's horrible. That was such a great momentum.
Yeah.
Up until this series, the best record post All-Star break of any team in the league, and they just fall apart like that.
Yeah.
So.
So there's that. Well, you're in a tie with the A's, 47-58. A's off today.
Yay.
Back in action tomorrow.
Guess who they're playing, though?
Is it the A's and Angels starting up
starting
again?
Starting up tomorrow.
All right. Battle for last.
Woo-hoo!
Or for second to last, whoever's going to take that series. Giants, I think it was important that Pence came back. You brought that up, Ken. And that they kind of stabilized because they lost the first two. And, you know, Washington's a really good team. But to win with the back end of their starting unit. I mean, to win the game when Peavy starts and when Kane starts, that was a huge boost to finish that homestand.
Absolutely. They had to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, not just to, you know, maintain where they are, their position that they have in the National League West, but also for their confidence.
Yes.
Moving forward. Because if you get swept by this Nationals team, you know if things continue the way they are, you're going to see them in the playoffs.
Right.
In the postseason. And you got to be thinking, wow, we can't handle this team. Even though most guys won't admit that. You'll be thinking, they just swept us. 4 games. So they split that. That at least gives them something to build upon, and they can try to get things going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, they definitely need that. So the Giants still have a little bit of breathing room, just 2 games. It got down to 1, though.
Yeah.
It was as tight as 1. They got an extra game back on Saturday. They both won yesterday. So the Giants have the 2-game lead. And, again, I think this last hour we'll see that both teams have already been somewhat aggressive. I would say the Dodgers more so in name power, getting Reddick and Hill from the A's. But This will make people move and start to make some movement here in the last hour.
So I'm wondering, what team do you think might be in the mix for Puig? Who needs a bat with a – he's not horrible in the field. He's exactly like Cespedes in the field.
Yeah, and like, I think he's just 25, 24, 20. He's still
young. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really good question because I think a lot of teams – I mean, he's – I don't think he's run his limit where people wouldn't take him.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, I think someone will take that chance on him, but is it a contender or just someone else says, hey, you know what, we need a young talent that even if we're out of it this year, we'll acquire him.
I'm wondering. I mean, because they would be making the move for the postseason. I don't know if you're making the move to trade for him now, thinking about, oh, well, next year.
Yeah.
Florida Marlins? I don't know. They're trying to sneak up in there.
Yeah, they're 4 back of the Nationals, Miami at this point. The Mets, you know, the Mets have already been aggressive. There's several teams that are
They can't have two of them on the same team.
Yeah.
They can't have Cespedes and Puig on the same team.
Yeah, that's true.
You have those two knuckleheads playing left and right.
Yeah.
And they do funny things like, I really believe, like, Cespedes is the kind of guy that bobbles the ball on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
So just, he can throw you out. I really believe he does that.
I think he has done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show off the cannon.
And it works.
Like, yep. Just get those legs moving a little bit, and then I'll throw you out. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. All right, I'll give you my best and worst. We want to hear from you guys at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'm going to put this here as one of my best of the weekend because it was a good day for Jimmy Walker. He went wire to wire to win the final major of the year. And here he talked about his first major at the age of, I think, 37. Yeah, and what's interesting about the way this tournament, Jason Day, really pushed him, one of the best golfers in the world, if not number one, or if not the best, just right there on the short list. I don't know if this is good or bad for the sport. We talk about it in other sports, Ken, where maybe you get a dynasty or a team that's always good. Four majors this year, all first-time winners. It wasn't Rory or Jason Day or Jordan Spieth. It's new people, fresh blood. And I think that's what the tour now is. The bar has been raised, and there's a lot of good golfers. And I don't know if that's good for the sport. I'll ask you because it's not your passion. But I'm guessing if Tiger were around and still in his peak, you might have been interested. But since he's not, these other names aren't doing it for you, huh?
I don't know much about them.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that it did get my attention when I kept hearing that he was staying in front.
Yeah.
The leader is still Jimmy Walker. And I was like, okay, I know for a fact that at one point, usually you come back to the field.
Yeah.
And so I think Stenson and Day were putting pressure.
Yep.
But he never gave them that opening to really make up significant ground.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting, but I never really thought about the fact that it had been four different winners in the last four majors.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
And I don't know, because it's an individual sport, so I don't know if it would compare if, you know, the Warriors won this year and the Heat won next year. You know, like 10 different winners over the next 10 NBA championships because it's individuals. I think it's not having Serena win all the time or not having Djokovic. I don't know what's better for individual sports, to have a blanket of a lot of different people that could win or have three or four that you're always going to count on.
I think the latter is probably better.
Yeah.
To build that buzz and get people interested is having that consistent or those consistent names be up there at the top every single time. And even if they take turns winning.
Yeah.
Even if it's Day this time, Spieth next time.
Right.
Stenson, you know, if they take turns.
That's fine.
That's okay.
That's compelling.
But as long as it's the same core of players every single time, I think that's okay. But like you're saying, it's guys kind of coming out of the woodworks with their first major.
Yeah. And nothing against Jimmy Walker, but if this is it and he doesn't win like four, then
right.
I don't say what's the point because it's his career. Good for him. But it's, are we going to remember this? And, you know, the three majors from now, like Danny Willett was the guy that won the Masters. Okay. I mean, he's still really good and he's competitive, but I just don't know that it registers with, you know, the golf diehards, that's a different breed. But the you know, the everyday person that you're trying to get, people love football, people love basketball, the people that you're trying to get to watch golf, I don't know, I think they need the name power to do it.
And even when you do have the name power, like Phil Mickelson came off of being second.
Yes.
And then you're thinking, oh, well, he played great golf.
Right.
The guy had to shoot a record-setting kind of performance to beat him. And then he comes to this, and he was horrible to start.
Yes.
Horrible to start. And I guess that, once again, just underscores what you guys talk about, how it's just such a mental game.
Sure is.
But I'm like, okay, you got all your fans all excited. Like, all right, Lefty's in great form. He's going to come here. And then he comes out, and I think he like, triple bogeyed or something crazy earlier.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It was a mess.
So it is, you like to see the names, you know, on a consistent basis. And I think as far as, like, following golf, it does make it harder. It isn't like if you have a team.
Right.
And every team is different every year. And so even if you have the worst team in the league, you're like, hey, it's wide open.
Yeah. The start of the NFL season, everybody thinks they got a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
but you're right. Like they do.
And as a team, it is feel different. But individual sports,
it just makes it too tough.
I think you just need about three or four, or like in golf, I don't know that golf has a villain. I don't feel like they do, or someone that you're rooting against. I don't feel like they have that. But
right.
That would be something that would draw people.
How do you become a villain in golf?
I don't know. Like, I think there was a time maybe in tennis, like McEnroe was kind of a polarizing because he was such a hothead, but some people loved him because he was good, and others like, this guy's got an attitude problem. But I don't know. I don't know in golf.
How could you be a villain? Like, you're really, really good, and you win all the time, yet you're disrespectful on the course.
Maybe.
You're smoking cigarettes.
Well, Tiger, you know, was getting accused sometimes. You know, he was swearing sometimes out there and, you know, yelling sometimes at different people, but he was also really good.
So you're saying that no other golfer had been like, hey, stop taking a picture of me
I'm sure they have. I also think he was a victim. Victim's not the right term, but he was, because he was so good, we saw every shot.
Yeah.
We want to see every shot. Well, that might be going on other people. We just, why do we need to see the third shot on the second hole of this golfer?
Yeah.
But Tiger, we're going to see every shot.
There you go.
So that was my best of. The worst of goes back to Friday night. I'm watching the Giants game, and I feel like this was the low point of the season because they're just – They're on the dive. They can't regroup, and they're playing the Nationals. The rally has started. It's like, okay, maybe they've already hit rock bottom. At the same exact time, Ken, the Dodgers are playing the Diamondbacks, and they give up 7 runs in an inning. And I'm like,
the Dodgers?
Yeah. It's turning. It is turning. The Giants are going to find a way to win this game. They were down 2 runs, I believe. Bases are loaded. Nobody out. And then this happened. It's a triple play. Buzz kill.
Wow.
Right then and there. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. So it's the 8th inning. You're running out of outs, and you hit into a triple play, and it was well hit, and it was perfectly played. But you're thinking, so like I said, the Dodgers give up all these runs. You have an opportunity to come back and maybe steal this game. And then while that happened, so right after that, so again, the Dodgers give up 7 runs in the top of the 7th. Triple play happens. Dodgers score 5 in the bottom of the 7th and go back ahead and end up beating the Diamondbacks. And then it was down to 1. I'm like, this is the kind of game that maybe they're going to get caught and passed and lose the division by 3 or 4 games. Now, they stabilized since a little bit, but that to me was a low point back on Friday night.
That could completely be a killer right there. It kills their whole momentum and their confidence while the Dodgers get just
– yeah. You're thinking, oh, knock in 2, nobody out. Dodgers are losing. We're going to get our game back. Hunter's coming back tomorrow. Instead, what? Triple play? And you said, you know, things have happened. It actually was the first, I'm going to forget how it went, 3 unassisted, was it 3?
I see 3-3-5.
3-3-5. It was the first ever in baseball history, triple play like
that. Yeah, 3-3-5 triple play in Major League. The first one in Major League history.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that'll make you be like, I'm not coming back out tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's it.
Denard Span was the runner on 3rd, and they even showed his facial reaction after the play because he was just running on contact.
Yeah.
He got to home, he's like, and you can see it, he caught that. He's like, yeah, because Span, you're like, where is he? He was already across home plate, and they threw back to 3rd. The guy was off the bag, went over, slowly watched a walk, touched the bag, and it was like, yeah. And Posey was hung out to dry. He couldn't do anything on 1st. It's like, oh boy.
Did Bochy even go out to discuss it?
No.
No, he just looked at him.
Bochy went in and had a hot pocket or something. I don't know what he did. He was
when
like, oh boy.
Things get rough. Have a hot pot.
That's right. All right, so we want your best and worst of the weekend. We got 3 the Hard Way coming up at 1. 2 o'clock, Ken Korak, A's radio play-by-play voice, joins us, and we're about 35 minutes away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Lots of moves have happened. We'll discuss that. Some football to get into, that and much more. Want to remind you to watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the San Antonio FC. That's this Saturday, 8 p.m. at Bonnie Field. Arrive beforehand and stop by the K2K tent to win passage to see Pete's Dragon. That's the first movie I ever saw as a kid that I remember.
Really?
Pete's Dragon, you remember that movie?
I do remember.
The animated one?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. That's the first one I can remember. Purchase tickets at SacRepublicFC.com. Ken and I are back with more of the Lowdown again. Damian is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. We're back with more on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. So based on that report, I can compete in the Olympics because I can dog paddle.
Can you? Just don't put your head in the water.
Keep my head above water.
Don't forget, keep your mouth closed, too.
Yeah.
Breathe out of your nose.
Gosh, what a mess. What an absolute mess.
It's an absolute mess, and it's safe to say it's way too late to turn back now.
Yep. Can't do it. Can't do anything about it.
Unbelievable.
Man. They better hope there's some quality events and some shining moments to kind of don't look over here, you know, what the real issues are.
They're going to have to really knock it out of the park with the opening ceremony.
Yeah, which they usually do, but, right. Man.
And then after that, yeah, don't look over here.
That's right.
Nothing to see over
just
here.
Just enjoy the indoor events. Gymnastics looks great.
And then there are more things to be concerned with, not just the weather. I'm not really all that, you know, our athletes. I'm not sure what's happening, especially with Team USA as far as the men's basketball team is concerned. I'm a little concerned about them being able to focus.
Well, what would you be talking about, Ken? I don't know. What could be wrong? Our guy, we always talk kind of about social media. There can be some good. Oh, boy, there could be some bad.
It's a whole lot of bad.
Yeah, Draymond Green, a victim of that, I guess. He took a picture of his privates, because who doesn't, and didn't keep it private. He says, quote, "I apologize for this situation. It's clearly not what I was trying to do." He had actually sent out it had been out for about 10 minutes, a picture of his junk, right? It was a situation where it was meant to be a private message. I kind of hit the wrong button, kind of. And it sucks. It was meant to be private. We're all one click away from placing something in the wrong place, and I suffered from that this morning. Are you one click away?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I have never in my life taken a picture of my friend.
Yeah.
And let me just say, we are the closest friend of friends. We are buddies.
Yeah.
We are down forever and down for whatever.
Yeah.
But not that. Okay.
Yeah.
We are not down for that. I'm not even sure, and we could have a whole hour-long discussion as to what would actually provoke an adult male to even take a picture of that.
Yeah, to send out.
That just taking the picture first.
Because generally, if you're taking the picture, you're probably going to send it, right? I mean, why are you just taking it? Oh, I just have it on my phone. For what? For you?
I guess it's so when you get older, you're like, oh, I remember back then when it looked like that. I mean, what are you doing? I'm not even sure. But there are lots of men who not only take the picture, but then send that.
Yeah.
That's like an epidemic.
And women,
not a trend, it's an epidemic.
You could chime in, too. I don't know that it's that appealing to receive that picture.
Like, is it, please, and there are a lot of females that listen to this, and we appreciate your support, but please chime in and answer the question.
Yeah.
When that is sent to you, do you like that? Is that like...
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't either. Draymond went on to say I can't catch a break, well, I think that's disrespectful for everybody. How many people get to live their dreams? I'm not going to sit here and throw myself a pity party and say I can't catch a break. I'm fine. I get to joke around with these guys all day and get to do what I love for my country. I'm fine. I'm fine.
So taking pictures of your junk is what you do for your country? Is that what he's doing for his country?
I don't know.
So he's right. There's no need to pity him.
Yeah.
It is safe to say he's an idiot. Not just for this.
All right.
He has done this last 6 months.
He's had a rough couple of months.
He can't wait for 2017 to get here. He can just wipe this one off the books. Everything that he's done, it's just been knucklehead.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you're like, is it because everything has come to him quickly in the last year? So let's go a year. A year ago, he was an NBA champion, right? I do believe he is.
Then he got paid.
Yeah. Exactly. And so then everyone's watching him. Right. Then he comes into this next series this year. And I mean, he was really holding everything together for this team in the greatest regular season in the history of the NBA.
Right.
Get to the playoffs. And then he just
had a couple meltdowns.
Yeah.
And I know that. I think, you've said a lot of times what happens with athletes, not everyone, but some will on social media do direct messages. And that's a way for they can have an eventual hookup, maybe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that's my guess is what was probably a plan, right? It was, I'll take a picture, send it. Oops, I sent it to everybody.
But even if, it doesn't make any sense. You are an Olympic athlete now. You're representing your country. All that knucklehead nonsense. Come on, man. Why would you even send that? It's just like Alden Smith doing the thing.
It's not like I said it was Draymond Green.
It was me. You're right. But it's on your account.
Yeah.
Why are you even doing that?
Right.
It doesn't even make any sense. Is it that difficult? And this could be a problem. Is it that hard for professional athletes to hook up?
It wouldn't seem to me.
Is it that difficult?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you got to be careful.
Right.
But is it that difficult?
Well, and what's interesting is when you're under the, like, to me, I almost feel like if you're the Warriors, like, well, it's not on our time. Like, he's an Olympian right now.
Right.
And then if you're the Olympian, like, do you think anybody there is even addressing it?
Mm-mm.
Like, Coach K is like, hey, guys, huddle up. I mean, like, can you even imagine, like, just a little bit of advice for you guys.
Like, imagine your old junior high school gym coach.
Awkward.
Giving the lecture.
Yeah.
All right, men.
Here's what you do and you don't do. But what probably did happen is you know, DeMarcus, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, whatever. I'm sure they had some fun with
it. Oh, they're going to give him
grief.
They
better.
As they should.
Right.
They should totally give him grief. If any of them have the picture and they've doctored it and put a Zika, like a Zika mosquito
yes.
on the top of it.
Right.
Now that's funny.
Glasses and a fake mustache, whatever. Be creative.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen this? Please make sure it gets back to its rightful owner.
The Zika virus is even better. That's an amazing visual. Absolutely
but that's
amazing.
Just ridiculous. Like, come on, man. You guys got to get, they got to do better than this.
Well, that's one thing we definitely don't need. How about this? Do we need a new TV show with Charles Barkley? Maybe some of you say yes, but when you hear what it is, we'll tell you what that is and whether or not you want to be excited about it. We'll do that next here on KHDK. And once again, Damian off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. One more trade coming in, and the Dodgers do another deal to get another arm. They have brought in another A, too, not currently from the Oakland A's, but Jesse Chavez, who used to be on the Oakland A's, now with the Blue Jays, comes into the Dodgers. Looks like that's the latest trade that has come in. So they had another member to their pitching staff. So we'll see if in the last, I don't know, 13 minutes now, Ken, if anyone else will do any more aggressive moves here in the closing minutes of the trade deadline.
Well, the Dodgers are being very aggressive and being very smart. The one issue they had was the pitching staff. Even before Clayton Kershaw got hurt, we still were like, what are you going to do for your basically 3, 4, and 5 and your bullpen?
Yeah.
Well, they addressed all that today. So they're trying to, at least thus far. Maybe they'll have some more moves to make. But they're being aggressive.
They're in a good spot. They're 2 back of the Giants. They're the leader in the wild card and 2 clear of, 3rd in the wild card race. So we'll see what happens here in the closing moments of the trade deadline. Again, we'll give you all of the updates. 3 the hard way coming up at 1. 2 o'clock, Ken Korak, the A's radio play-by-play voice, to join us to talk about the move the A's did make today, moving Reddick and Hill to the Dodgers, getting 3 minor league arms, and kind of looking at the last couple of months of the baseball season. August 1st is here.
Things are going to get real interesting.
Yes, it's going to get real.
Things are going to get interesting. All right, so are we getting into this new show thing?
Yes. So our guy, Charles Barkley. I'm a big fan of Charles Barkley. Love him on TNT. I think he's fun. I think he's entertaining. But it's a good spot for him. Just right there. That's all I need. That's all I need of Charles. He'll be on other shows. We'll hear his opinion on things. But now I think TNT wants to get him involved in a show they're going to call The Race Card. And it's going to premiere in early 2017. And basically, Ken, it sounds like it's going to be his take on a lot of hot-button issues.
That's probably the worst idea I think I've heard in a long time.
Now, there might be more, you know, nuance to it, but that's kind of the general premise of the show.
Okay, you know what? The only way I would watch that show is if Donald Trump were the co-host.
Okay.
Because to listen to those two talk about it, it would be interesting to say the least. I feel like if you're going to deal with issues like this, and this is only my personal like feeling about these issues, they have to be addressed in, how do I say this, as high-minded fashion as possible.
Okay.
Because when you don't approach it in a manner that's sensitive to all parties involved, it devolves quickly.
Okay.
Into something that could be name-calling. And then your point won't be heard. And in a topic like this, it's so important that both sides are heard. And if you can articulate your point as well as possible, that makes it easy for your point to be heard and not to be misconstrued and not to be misunderstood and not to lead down a path where you're attacking people. I'm not quite sure if Charles is that individual.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure if he is the host of the show or he's the name of the show. I'm not sure exactly how the format's going to go. Here's his quote. We as Americans never discuss the issue of race in this country and how it impacts everything in our lives until something bad happens. I see this project as a way to talk about race, class, and cultural differences and challenge everyone's status quo. Okay. I mean, that's fine, but
okay.
I get your point. Is he the best one suited for this? How will it be presented? What exact topics are they going to do? I'll be intrigued, but I don't know. I guess it's what they have 6 episodes is what they're at least starting with, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, it says here, each week, Barkley will take on the rapidly calcifying positions around today's hot-button topics. He will seek out the sharpest and most varied viewpoints from today's cultural leaders and tastemakers. He will then challenge and probe those ideas, even trying them out on himself.
Well, then I guess he is the one running it.
So in that sense, I guess maybe that's interesting, but I just...
Depends on the panel.
It depends on the panel and how they approach the topics, and yeah, that's going to be tough.
he kind of can go down that road sometimes, but it's on TNT. It's a shorter format with the basketball, and you're like, oh, Charles taking us on a little journey, and then we come back, and he's getting into basketball. But this one, it's strictly going to start in this place. I wonder how it'll do. I really like Charles Barkley, but I don't know. I'm curious about the show.
I'm very curious as well, and I do like Charles, although I have to admit, in the last couple of months, his act has been wearing a little thin on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially like when he, because there's a lot of what Charles says, and I think the same is for all of us. It's based on personal experience. So you can't really ask anything more of a human being than for usually everything starts there.
Right.
So, but then when he makes a comment like, yeah, good for Draymond Green for slapping that dude. Good for him. Like, why are you don't even know the details.
Right.
Like, why would he, it wasn't a fan. That's another athlete.
Yeah, but he immediately went to, that was a knucklehead fan, so go hit him, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. You can't let these people say whatever they want. I'm like, okay, sure, there's something to that, but you don't even know the details of this, Charles.
Yeah.
And he popped off a couple of times about some things, and I'm like, what? You don't really know the context or the details. You should probably wait, especially now in the position that you're in. You're a television broadcaster.
Yeah,
people listen to you.
And even in something that's, you know, way less important, you know, so trivial compared to, you know, something like this. But in basketball, he'll get on a thing where Warriors aren't going to win because they're a jump shooting team, and he'll stick with that until he's either right or wrong. And it's like, well, they won last year and they had the best record this year. But he's like, nope, they're not winning it. Okay, in the end, technically he was right. But it's like, do you really believe it, or is he just saying that? And he kind of sticks with a stance and won't move from it.
And even the saying they're not going to win it, I feel like it's even better. Like, this is not my kind of team.
Right.
You know, I prefer a team that does this, this, and this.
Yeah, I'd like that better, too.
I'd like that better as well. And so I think that there's – Barkley's interesting, but I think there's still a lot of bitterness and resentment within Charles. And I think that colors a lot of his comments. And I'm like, okay, is that really how you feel? Like, do you really understand what you're saying right now and how that affects other people? But I guess they just want it to be compelling.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where my issue is. Okay, it might be compelling, but will it achieve – the goal that you set out.
Right.
And that's to get us all talking about these things. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's the guy to get us all talking about these
things. Yeah, and I'm sure he's got a lot of connections and a wide net of people he can get. But I'd be curious. That, to me, is where the draw might be. Wow, that's his panel today? Or however the show is going to go. But I hope he has a couple of different varying opinions. And, wow, that's a good poll. Good to get them on. But I don't know who that's going to be.
And if he does, is it really his pull? Because he's got a whole network behind him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
sure.
Is that him bringing that guest in his name?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I guess it just remains to be seen. And I understand it's initially compelling in the when you read the announcement, you're like, oh. But then if you stop and think about it for a second, like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to work.
But you know so much about TV, but this feels like something that a TV exec just like, oh, yeah, perfect. We'll get Charles.
Yeah.
Unplugged, whatever, talking about hot topics, race issues, that's a hit.
There are very few ideas that come from network executives that are original.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few ideas where they say, you know what, I was just thinking about this. Let's try blah, 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 blah. It's usually taking something that you've already seen that's happening and then say, let's make a show out of that.
Yeah.
So, Charles, as you said, Charles will speak on these issues, and he's always been outspoken on these issues. So they're like, you know, well, let's put Charles in that situation. That, to me, is not like a necessarily unique idea.
You know, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I've never asked you this. When you watch news, are you watching the talent? You know what I mean? Like, because you do it, so you know how. So are you?
I do.
Katie Couric's on, delivering a story. You're probably listening, but are you watching her, how she delivers it, or whoever, Matt Lauer, anybody? Anybody out there, are you watching them, or are you listening to the story?
I'm doing it all.
Yeah,
because when I'm watching news, it very rarely is it for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm watching the news at 2:30 in the morning at home because I need to see what happened overnight.
Yeah.
But I am paying attention to the talent and how they're delivering that. And I know that there are things that are happening.
You know when mess-ups are happening.
Yeah, you know
there's
things happening with live stories. You know that you don't have control over all the elements. So I'm listening to see how they're handling it. And if there is a mistake made, I'm usually granting them. I'm like, it's crazy in there.
Sure.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Just keep going. But I'm not necessarily assessing the talent the first time I'm watching. I have to watch over a series, and then I'll be assessing the talent after that.
Sure.
But for the first part, I'm just watching just to get the information.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I've always liked to ask, you know, coaches. You know, they're out and they're watching the playoffs. Like, are you watching – you're just watching the game as a basketball fan, or are you watching it as a coach going, oh, they ran this – I mean, I'm sure that then they all say –
I don't know if they can. I don't think they can as a fan,
they watch it like it's – they're prepping for that team. They
exactly.
have to. So I wondered if that was the same for you. Just, not that you're prepping, but that's what you do, and you see someone else do it, and you're like, man, they're pretty good. Or
yeah.
And I'm sure you make some opinions on people like that. They're talented. They're pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. And you'll watch at a higher level, at a network level, and I'll see something they'll do, camera turn type thing, and like, oh, that's a pretty good trick. That'll help you to get from one, whatever the case may be. There's little things you'll see, and you'll try to pick up on it.
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's going to debut, the race card premiering in early 2017 featuring Charles Barkley. All right. The trade deadline will come and go. If there's any last-minute stuff, we'll tell you when we start the 1 o'clock hour. Also, 3 the Hard Way coming up in just a moment. Ken and I have some tough questions coming your way. Want to get your thoughts on it at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Back with more of The Lowdown on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHTK.